Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God who's head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, musicians, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. I'm gonna say this. Singers love to sing, preachers love to preach, musicians love to play. Amen. So I'm gonna stay in my lane. Amen. I'm not gonna let somebody bait me out there. Trust me, if y'all see me go out that way, you better believe that the Holy Spirit is.
Amen.
Amen. Because it ain't going to be me that's singing. It's going to be the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't going to find my key on there. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm probably the only person that you won't be able to find the key on there. Amen. I want to, Minister Cora gave a confirmation, amen, in her prayer. And she spoke about encouragement. Amen. That's what God is dealing with me in this message, is talking about encouragement. Because we don't do enough of that as people of God. So turn to Acts, the 15th chapter. I can hear my grandfather saying the Acts of the Apostles. Man, it's like I have his sermons, messages embedded inside my spirit. Or I can just recall it, the Acts of the Apostles. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm reading from the King James Version. Just I always like to say that so you understand some of the wording will be slightly different. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And this contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed are the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. I want to basically talk to you on the subject of encouragement. As I previously stated, encouragement is not something that you get from people nowadays. You don't hear it enough, and people don't think about saying it to each other. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 11, it says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. In other words, encourage. Encourage each other. God commanded that his people encourage each other because why? God knew that we will need it. We would need it. In the Gospel of John, Jesus warned us that in this world, you will have trouble. Which he then followed with a much needed encouragement by saying, take heart, because I have overcome the world. So he's letting us know that we're going to have these problems. We're going to have these issues in life. But he is commanding us to encourage each other. There are times when I long for the days where, you know, I kind of reminisce where, you know, you back yesterday years. You know, you could play with your friends all day long, and your parents didn't really have to worry about you being abducted and all of that type of stuff. It was like, oh, they're going to bring that child back. They ain't going to want him. Those days, our school arguments were settled with a double dog dare, you know, and it was really settled on the playground. It didn't go no further than that, you know. And those are the days that, you know, you remember. Instead of the knives and the automatic weapons that they're taking to school now, there was a sense of peace and security back then. Amen? Because everything was settled, you know, when you got done. You know, because kids, when we got done fighting, I mean, you just give us a few minutes to cool off. Next thing you know, we'll be back playing with each other. And you won't even have to worry about, you know, okay, let's bring the parents together. We policed that ourselves because we had a little disagreement. We separated. They went in their house. I went in my house. Next thing you know, once we cooled off, hey, man, you want to play ball? You good? You know? And then we went back playing with each other, you know? But then as time went on, as, you know, life happens, you know, and then I would just start by saying, you know, let's just start right here after 9/11, you know, when the towers fell and the Pentagon was attacked and we felt threatened and violated and exposed. Suddenly, the threat of terrorism, as you understand, is all over the place. You know, it's all you hear is about terrorism. The aftermath of Columbine was never feeling safe in school again, never walking along and having a Boy Scout or whatever get suspended for bringing his Boy Scout tools to school or getting arrested for food fights. I mean, they're doing this now. I mean, I'm be honest with you, the food fights was kind of cool, but I mean, I knew how to hide in that. I wasn't a part of that, Ma. I'll just let you know. But the food fights was cool, you know. You didn't like what you was eating and you just hurled it, man, you know. But what I'm saying is that, you know, those days, you know, are gone. But now they're trying to arrest you for stuff like this, you know. I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, Amber Alerts remind us that our children are targets and cause us to have them, you know, play violent video games. That's something that my children will not play. They will not play those violent video games, you know. Instead of them going outside running and exercising, they're exercising these thumbs. And man, when I was growing up, it was like, y'all get outside. It was a lot of us boys. Y'all get outside. Go outside and play. We couldn't stay in the house. You had to go outside. If I didn't have to go outside as much, I would be lighter than what I am now. I was light-skinned. I promise y'all. I was light-skinned. Look at my pictures. Parents tell you to go outside and play, you know. And you come back in, they don't even recognize you. I'm like, I'm Ronnie, Grandma. We live in a broken and sinful filled world. I like what my wife said, and it is very revelation. Laws are being passed to accommodate sinful behavior. That's really what is happening. They are pay attention to this. They're passing laws to accommodate people's sinful behavior. So we're living in this type of world. But as Christians, we are challenged to live as people of faith in this type of world. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, that's not easy to do. But Jesus did say, I have overcome the world. So he's telling us, oh, you can do it. But we are promised that this is what when people kind of, you tell off on yourself, that's like if somebody say to me, they from East St. Louis. Okay, you know you got to go through the test, right? Because I'm going to question you on where you belong. Or if you say you from Centerville, I'm going to question you on where you from. or what part, or were your family? But my point in saying this, when people start telling me that they read the Bible, but then when I hear you talk and you don't kind of understand that the Bible did say we're going to suffer. The Bible did say we're going to have tribulation. The Bible did say that these things are going to happen. There's going to be perilous times. There's going to be a falling away from the church. People are going to lose their affection for Christ. The Bible did talk about this. So I'm not going to get discouraged what the Bible has talked about, because all it is prophecy. It is God speaking his word, and all I'm seeing is the manifestation of the prophecy that God has already laid out for us. So what does that tell me, preacher? It tells me that I better have my house in order, because the prophecy is fulfilling itself. So when encouragement is absent, listen to this, from the life of people, we begin to feel unloved, unimportant, useless, and forgotten. God knows his people are in need of grace-filled members, reminders, so he calls us to encourage each other every day until his son returns. It would be a wonderful thing. We have the capability, you know, back then, you know, when I was coming up, if you wanted to send somebody or get in touch with somebody, you either had to pick up the phone or you had to send them a letter. Now you can pick up the phone and you can text them, right? Wouldn't it be nice if all of a sudden you got a wonderful text message from someone? Wouldn't it be nice? A text message to encourage you. Folks don't know what you're going through. People don't know what you're dealing with. Let me tell you something. You coming in contact with people, I know what you're dealing with, because everybody is not as polite. So we need to send reminders. We need to send encouragement to one another. So what is encouragement? Biblical encouragement isn't focused on complimenting someone's haircut or telling them how good their homemade recipe is. You know, the kind that they don't want to tell you the secret sauce when it's really sweet baby Ray sauce. all they did was just add a little something to it. I'm like, man, ain't nothing. That's sweet baby. Yeah, sweet baby Ray's, man. You ain't fooling nobody with that. The kind of encouragement is important. You know, when you compliment somebody about their haircut, or, you know, sorry, brothers, for some of you all that, you know, don't have it, but I'm not too far behind you, though. But I like the way you glazed it, though. You know, it looks nice. But when you compliment someone, that's nice, but that's not the compliment that we really need. That's great. That's good. If you're doing it, continue to do that. But that's really not the compliment that we need. We need to encourage with scripture, reference to Christians' encouragement. Amen. That's what we need. See, my spirit is tied to God, so I need to hear God's word. If you're going to encourage me, that's great. If you say, oh, Ronnie, this, that, and the other, that's fine, but I need to hear my Father's word. In other words, I need to be reminded of what I'm living for and what I'm working for. That's what I need. I need to hear that. You know, it's kind of like the kids. They don't want to get the greens and all those beans that they should be eating. All they want is the ones that got the sugar substance. That's what they want. So we need to encourage one another. Encouragement is shared with the hopes that will lift someone's heart towards Jesus. It points a person to God's promise that assures them that all they face is under control. That's what I need to hear. I need to hear that God is still on the throne. Yeah, yeah. That he is still making a way out of no way. I need to hear that. Right. Even though I know that, but it's good when a fellow laborer comes alongside you. Yeah. That's what encouragement is. Come alongside you and say to you, hey, you still holding on? That's what I need to hear. The Bible is full of men and women who face discouragement at a deep level. Jonah, I'm going to be honest with you. Read Jonah. Jonah asked God to kill him. Take me out of here. Because he was so hopeless. Trials and tribulations are certain to come our way. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulations. I just said this. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Troubled water is a natural path that we must accept. Mark 4 teaches that when Jesus and his disciples were out on the water and the water got rough, Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea and told it to be still. Yeah. Jesus is still rebuking winds in our lives and telling the sea to be still. Yeah. It's a natural design of water to be turbulent from time to time, but it's a blessing to know that God's word can tell it to be still. The things that is going on in your life, God can say, that's enough. Every now and then, our lives are tested by fire, and we'll go through the fire, but the same God that hung the sun and the moon, the same God that put the wetness in rain, the same God that put the twinkle in the stars can take the heat out of the hurt of the fire. He can take it out. God, y'all better know who you serving this morning. So no matter what is put on your plate, some people say it's not a plate anymore, it's a platter. I don't care what you have. There are great things to experience and enjoy as well, but the bitter taste of reality, hardship, and emptiness and brokenness will touch your taste buds at some point in your life. It's going to touch you. You can't just tell someone to be happy and move on and enjoy life. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. You just be happy, move on. No, happiness is a surface thing. That's not going to last too much longer. You can say happy birthday, you can say happy this or happy that, but when you're done, that happiness is going to wither away. But when you got something that's deeper than happiness, it's called joy. Joy, everlasting joy. You can't touch my joy. You can't touch the joy. God built into our bodies a way for each of us to be reminded of what we are to do when difficult times come. And here's the thing, and he did this by imparting in each of us the compassion, love to encourage one another. Right. He put that inside of us. Yeah. That's what he's commanded us to do. The time you no longer feel like drawing near to God is the most important time that you need to draw near to God. Right. The time you don't feel like making contact with heaven in prayer is the time that you need to get on your knees and make contact with heaven. So which is why all of us need to be encouraged to remember this reality when we are in the midst of forgetting it. In our fast-paced schedules, God wants to remind us that we have been put here on purpose for a purpose. All right. Amen? All right. Think about this for a moment. Cars are built for transportation. Trucks are built for transportation. Houses are built for shelter. Grocery stores are built to provide substance. Hospitals are built to provide care. Churches are built to provide hope. All of these things are created for a purpose. God created us for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. God created you for purpose, on purpose. Remember that. You are not a mistake or an accident. You are created for a purpose. You are created with a purpose. You are created for God's purpose. You need to live for purpose. You should live on purpose. The primary purpose is reflecting God's glory and his image to those around us. One way this is done is through encouraging one another. Man, I can't get off of that word. And you got to encourage. one another to keep our eyes, hearts, minds, and hopes set on Jesus, because the payoff for doing so will come forth at the end. You got to believe me when I tell you this. When you go through struggles, you need someone to come alongside you and remind you that you have hope ahead of you. You need to hear a word to point your thoughts in the direction of God and his goodness again. Again, God has commanded us to encourage one another. Sometimes we do the opposite. We often do the opposite. At times we discourage one another instead of encouraging one another. It just feels good to us to just discourage somebody. You know, we concentrate on people's weakness and faults instead of their strength. That just feels good to just go and get somebody told on their weakness and their disabilities and the things that they can't do. Man, it makes you feel good when you feel superior over somebody. Now, I'm not saying that as a thing to rejoice about. I'm saying that's just how people feel. Criticizing others instead of complimenting them on their good qualities. We just love to do this. We love to tear down instead of building up. Instead of somebody being built up, man, we like to just tear them down. I told you, you never see a soldier saying, oh, man, hey, come on, man, we got to get out of here. Fire's coming, man, they shooting at us. He's like, man, I can't walk. Can you help me? No, man, but let me just end this for you right now. You don't see soldiers doing that. No, they picked their brother up. And they grab them and they limping. They say, come on, man, let's go. That's what soldiers do. That's what warriors do. They don't leave them there. They pick them up. My grandfather told me, he said, the only time you look down on somebody is when you're picking them up. If you ain't picking them up, you shouldn't be looking down on them. Y'all know something, I learned this too. That we give a vacuum cleaner more opportunity than we give each other. Right. Now, how do you relate that to scriptures, Pastor? Easy. If you got a vacuum cleaner at home, when you pushing it, yeah, you seeing it picking up. But then there's some objects that it won't quite pick up as well. Right. So then you'll just do like this. Yeah, got you this time. What I'm saying here, you gave this vacuum cleaner another chance. But a brother and sister in Christ, man, as soon as they mess up, oh, I'm done with them. I'm done. Oh. May have to edit some of that out. But I'm done. I'm done. No, no, no. She a Christian. He a Christian. You don't do that. That's the way we act. But that vacuum cleaner, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance to do this before we pitch it. But we'll pitch a Christian in a minute. Why should we encourage? Because we can change someone's life. Y'all want to know why I read this? As you know, preachers takes us a while to get to where we need to go to. So I'm getting to where I need to be. So we talked about Barnabas, Saul, Silas, and Mark, right? So what happened here, reason why Paul got upset with Mark, he didn't want him to come, is because earlier, if you read a few chapters earlier, you'll understand why. Mark decided that he wanted to go in a different direction. So he left them. They supposed to be a team, right? A group. Mark decided, hey, man, I'm finna go take a pit stop right here. I'm finna go chill, man. You know, y'all go ahead and do it. So they doing a missionary work. So they left. I mean, Mark went in his direction. Paul, Silas, and Barnabas went in their direction. Then they meet back up. And Mark is like, hey, I'm good. Got a refresher. Hey, I want to go with you. Paul said, no, you ain't going with us. You can go somewhere with that, bro. We out here working and you going there chilling. We don't need no people like that. We out here working. Yeah, all right. Paul is a powerful man of God, right? Amen. But he can mess up too. Amen. Paul was like, I ain't fooling with him. All right.
Now, y'all know how you get. I ain't fooling with him. We ain't going to talk to Mark. We going to go in our different direction. Forget Mark. Mark can go his own way. You know, and then Barnabas, son of encourager. All right. That's what his name means. All right. Look it up. All right. Barnabas, son of encouragers. So can you imagine Mark when Paul refused to let him go on the next missionary journey? Mark could have been so discouraged that he quit the ministry. He could have very easily said, you know what, I'm done with these Christians. You know, that's how you're going to treat me? You're going to treat me like that? I'm done. I'm out of here. I ain't coming back to church no more. He could have very easily did that. However, Barnabas stood beside his friend, John Mark, despite his past failures, left him hanging. Listen to what I'm saying. Brother man left him hanging. It was good to be in twos back then. Follow what I'm saying. You got to get it out of this mindset today that we're in. Some of us want to be long rangers. No, they had twos. Jesus sent them disciples out in twos. It was easy to be with each other. But some of us want to be long rangers. Oh, I can do this by myself. I don't need nobody's help. Yes, you do. That's why you're messing up. But here's the thing. Barnabas stood beside his friend. And he lifted John Mark up and gave him another chance and inspired him to continue in the ministry. Inspired him to continue in the ministry. Barnabas' encouragement changed John Mark's life. Think about it. What would have happened if Mark had quit? We probably wouldn't have the gospel according to Mark. I'm just saying. But because he encouraged his brother in the faith to continue on, we are blessed today. All right. It is important that we encourage each other. Each time we encourage someone, it may change the course of his or her life. Life can be very challenging most of the time. As we live our lives, we need a lot of help along the way. We need some encouragement along the way. You know, when I started off, when I was young and just getting my feet going into the workforce, man, I'm telling you, I was very immature, not understanding a lot of things, you know, but we need somebody to come along, and God has somebody there to help me along my way to get me to where I needed to go. That was a blessing. We face so many challenges at every turn. It is important for us to have people in our lives that will get behind us to tell us we can do it. My boss told me at the time, he said, Ronnie, he said, I'm going to tell you, you got major league capabilities. He said, but I'm just saying this to you. He said, don't take this the wrong way. You got major league capabilities. He said, you are a leader. He said, I see it in you. He said, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to go and get you a degree. He said, get you a degree. Now, it's not that God cannot bless you without the degree, because he can. I can name many people that's been blessed without the degree. But what he was telling me, it would sure look good. So what I'm saying is that we need somebody like that to tell us. In other words, it wasn't so much the degree, it was the education that you needed in the field in order to understand what it is that you're doing. So what do people need when they are struggling? They need encouragement. What do people need when they do something that may seem like out of their normal range of ability? Well, they need encouragement. Those who have children, let me say this to you, and I'm just going to be plain, raw, natural as I could possibly be. When your child first started walking and they stood up, did you say this to them? Now, I'm just going to be real. I'm giving it to you very dirty. Did you say to them, come on, dummy, come on? That's harsh, isn't it? You didn't say that, did you? No, because that don't sound right. But when your child started walking, what did you do? You said, oh, come on, baby. Come on, come, 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 come. Oh, you can do it. There you go. And you grabbed them. You stood in front of them with outstretched arms, with love, ready to receive them.
Understand what I'm saying here. And as they were coming like this, they had a smile on their face and they kept walking towards you. Why? Because they saw encouragement. That's what they was looking at. They were looking at encouragement. They were looking at you telling them to come on. And they, every step, they didn't even think about walking. All they did was saw your face. And they kept moving towards you. That's what God wants us to do. God is standing with outstretched arm. He is saying to us, come on. Come on. You can just few more steps. He told Enoch, you so close to me, you might as well just come on home, man. Yeah, yeah. When a person is struggling in their faith, what do they need? They don't need you to come and criticize them. They don't need you. Remember what I said about unity individually. Yeah. These fingers are nothing. But when they come together, they form something that is terrible to bear. Right. Follow what I'm saying to you. People need to be encouraged, yeah, not discouraged. Okay? When we say we are encouraging another person, what does that really mean? What am I saying? Are we encouraging someone when we yell at them or tell them that they are going to be nothing? Is being critical of everything being an encourager? Well, you just got to know who I am. That's what I do. No, that's not what you should do. And if you are a believer of God's word, you ought to know that God's word says that you should not be doing that. Amen. So you cannot tell me that you are a child of God, because if you're a child of God, you ought to know that God is commanding us to encourage one another, yeah, not discourage each other. Yeah. That is not what God is saying. So I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I know it's not the Holy Bible, because it talks against that type of language. When you are around other Christians who are struggling, be careful that you are not constantly pointing out what they are doing wrong. Make sure you are encouraging them to stay in the game. Understand what I'm saying here. Encourage them. On my job, I'm the only guy in the department. It's filled with women. And man, I can't get a word in. I'm just going to be honest with you. Be real. So I just keep my mouth shut. Seriously. My boss look at me. When my boss want to answer from me, she look directly at me. And she literally, I promise y'all, she tells everybody to pretty much be quiet. I want to hear what Ronnie has to say. Because I sit there and I'm like this. And all I hear is this. And then there's a pause. And I think, is that my chance to say something? Or should I not say anything? And then my boss will look at me like, I want to hear from Ronnie right now. And then that's when I'll speak. My point is, and then my coworkers will come to me after the meeting and say, hey, Ronnie, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Can I get your advice? Can I get your opinion? People come to me for advice, because here's the thing. I encourage folks. After they get beat up by another coworker who just told them to shut up, I'm not done talking. Then they come to me and want to know why she's talking to them like that. I'm a grown woman. And I'd be like, okay, you know, all right. I'll go and say something to her. I'll go and talk to her, and I'll try to get her to cool down, you know. This is what I do. And I'm like this. I'm not even y'all managing. Y'all coming to me with this foolishness. But we have to understand, when you're around other Christians, be careful how you talk to them. We should be encouraging people. You want to know why people don't want to come to church? It's because of your mouth. Just saying. And here's the other thing. I had a coworker who I used to work with. She got a counseling degree.
And she heard the first thing she would say, oh, I already diagnosed them people right there. I already know what they are. We could diagnose people unfairly and label them unfairly. And we label them as a failure. We should believe in and encourage them. And when we do, we can change the course of their life. We can. We have to be careful how we say, oh, I diagnosed them already. You know, how about praying for that person? You can encourage others by looking for the best in people and not the worst in people. We have weakness. We all have it. We all have a weakness. No one is perfect. We could pick each other to death with criticism. We can. Because that's the most natural thing to do. It was like, I'm waiting on this opportunity. As soon as they come my way, they over there with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. As soon as, Lord Jesus, as soon as they come my way, we are already praying for God to release us, to let us say something smart to somebody. We getting approval from God already. Lord Jesus, I need you to let me do this. If it be thy will, Lord, let it be done right now. Give me confirmation. They come my way. Here they come. And we think that that's a sign from God. But how about you do this? Encourage that brother. Encourage that sister. Is that so hard to do? It is if you've never done it. Barnabas, encourager, immediately took Mark, John Mark, took him and said, man, come on, I'm going to take him in. He's going to come with me. Paul, you ain't got to worry about it. Hey, we can split up. We can do more. I just am visualizing this. They were in a group together, but now they're saying, hey, how about, y'all go that way, we'll go this way. We'll cover more territory like this. Look at the strategy. Look at the strategy. Yeah. Yeah. Cover more territory. Do more. Reach more. But he could have very easily tore this brother up. We need to look at people's strengths and good qualities. There's a person that's on our team at work. She's got good strengths. She's got some weaknesses. I'm trying to tell the job, hey, when she's operating in this strength here, she is tearing it up. I'm trying to tell them, hey, move her over here. Let her utilize this strength over here because it has catapulted our department to another level. But when they put her over here where all of us was doing this, it brought her down. Understand, when people have a good quality, something good about them, let them go there. That's why I stay out of the kitchen and let my wife do it. That's not a quality of mine. I'm not fooling with that. I mean, I can mess around a little bit. You know, I can follow. I have to look at the recipe like this. Okay, let me see what this thing is saying to me. Okay, Jeremiah, y'all stop playing right now. Because I got to read it. I got to understand what it is I'm getting ready to do. So I'm reading the instructions like this. Okay, where's the measuring cups? Let me go get that. Get that first. Get all the stuff that I need to measure. Because if it don't turn out right, it's not my fault. It's the box. The box didn't do a good job of explaining it to me. If I got the measuring cups and all the measurements, everything right, if it don't turn out right, it ain't my fault. The kids was bothering me and the box is not right. It's a misprint. If we are going to encourage people, let our efforts in encouraging them count for something. Get in the game like John Mark. He could have been ruined for service for God if it had not been for Barnabas. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If it had not been for that brother, who knows what could have happened to John Mark? Somebody is in your presence right now who you could encourage. But if you fail to encourage them, who knows what could happen to that person's life? If we are going to encourage each other, we must maintain a positive attitude. You can encourage someone while pushing them past what they think that they can do. They have to see we have a positive attitude. God doesn't want us to sit on the sidelines, but he wants us to get in the game, participate. You know, when I played ball, I wanted to get in the game. I didn't want to sit on no bench. I'm not contributing. I felt useless, helpless. I wanted to be out there on the field. Everyone has, listen to what I'm getting ready to say to you right here. Everybody has a seed of potential inside of them. God's seed is in you. You're a child of God. God's seed is in you. This means that potential to be fruitful is there in you. You need to discover these potentials. As a child of God, you are supposed to be a carrier of blessings. In order for you to become a carrier of blessings, you must understand some things. You cannot be a carrier of blessings without the help of God. When God has made up his mind to appoint you as a source of blessings, you will go ahead. He will go ahead of you to wait off, subdue every opposition. Notice, y'all remember what God said to Abraham? He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That's what God said. You are a carrier of greatness. When God created the earth, it contained the seed that brought forth life. When he spoke and commanded the earth to bring forth plants, it did so because the seed was already there. Listen to what I'm saying. God's word never returns to him void. God's word is like the rain and the snow that cause the seeds to germinate and spring forth to their destiny. When God spoke, the seeds in the earth sprang to life. When God's word comes to us, his truth waters our heart and causes the seed of greatness to in us to come to life. Right. Listen to what I'm saying. It causes the seed in us to come to life. When God created you, he placed seeds of greatness in you. Part of the reason that many of us don't realize that we carry seeds of greatness is because we've had so many negative things happen to us. God's plans and purpose, seeds of greatness, listen, for our lives have become buried and they are dormant, waiting for the right words of life to germinate them into action. It's there. Before a seed can germinate, listen to what I'm telling you. I learned this by being around someone that knows how to plant. Before a seed can germinate, the conditions must be exultingly right. The temperature has to rise to just the right degree, and there has to be sufficient light to signal the seed to come forth. Listen to what I'm telling you. There is also one more ingredient that must be present to cause the seed to spring forth. That is water. Water softens the shell that the seed is contained in so that life within the seed can break out. Some seeds even have to be soaked in water before they are planted to ensure that they will germinate and grow properly. Yeah, now, y'all know I'm a city boy. I don't know nothing about this. All right. I learned this. You understand what I'm saying? Just because I'm hanging around don't mean I ain't learning anything. I'm putting this to use. Every seed has the capability, listen, of producing the kind of plant or tree that produced it. All right. See, a lot of y'all like them preachers that do a lot of shouting, but y'all miss what they're saying. I'm taking my time here. I'm kind of tiptoeing through this a little bit. In other words, though the seed is small, the seed has all the potentials of a tree. It is a tree in the future. Right. It doesn't look like a tree now, but it is a tree. When the right conditions come forth to germinate this seed, it will be what it has been predestined to be.
bounty. There is a seed that God put into you when he created you. That seed is the seed of greatness. It is the seed of accomplishments. That seed, given opportunity of expressing itself, enables you to achieve whatever you want to achieve in life. That seed of God is in you means that you have the capability of becoming big in life. That seed, though it is small, it has the capability of becoming big in life. But the conditions have to be right for this seed. Think big and see yourself becoming big. You can't afford to live and die small when all it takes to be big lies within you. Look inward and draw out the power to move forward in life. Everyone came into this world fully loaded with potentials. Don't say that God didn't give it to you. God gave it to you. You need to cultivate what you have. There's another thing that says stir up the gift that is inside of you. Many times we don't stir up the gift that's inside of us. You know, when you go to a pot, a lot of times you just go in there and just dip it. No. Let me tell you to do this first. Stir it up a little bit. Because some things have settled. The ingredients have settled. But man, when you do this a little bit, mix it up, get it going again. Yeah. Then taste it. The Bible says stir up the gift. Every one of us have the capability, have the potential inside of us, designed to enable you to achieve all that you can dream of achieving in life. There is no one born that has been born with nothing, no matter what anybody feels. You were born to reign, dominate, and be in charge, and you can only achieve this by diligently exploring all the possibility that lie within you. So we need to understand, let me announce to you that you couldn't have been made any better than what you are right now. I know some people probably say, well, if I had a. Well, let me tell you something. You got it. It's in you. Stop looking at your neighbor. That's what preachers, and they get enough that say, turn to your neighbor. No, don't turn to your neighbor. No, don't look at your neighbor no more. Stop looking at your neighbor. I'm tired of these preachers saying, turn to your neighbor. Turn to two or three people. No, you don't. That's the problem. We are looking at other people when we should be looking towards heaven. The problem, let me tell you this. Let me just be real for a moment. You know, the problem is not the makeup. It's not the makeup. The problem is not where you were born. That's not it either. We throw those two out. That's not it. The problem is not the family in which you were born in. No, that's not it either. The problem is not whether rich or poor. You know, there's no middle class. You're either rich or poor. That's not it either. The problem is in you discovering who you are and the several abilities deposited into you. It's already deposited into you. We need to understand. Listen to what God says. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. A life of sacrifice is required for you to maximize your potential. When you go the extra mile, you'll get the extra blessing. I mean, if you don't go the extra mile, you ain't getting jack. I'm saying if you do what God has called you to do, if you live your purpose, if you serve your purpose, I promise you, the things that God has destined for you, that seed that's inside of you, I mean, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, I didn't know no better. Y'all, just pray for me. Just pray for me. I ain't know no better. I planted the seed, and I would dig it up to see. Man, come on now. Put it back down. I was probably about, eight. Somewhere around that age. Then I go back out there, give it a few days. I said, this should be doing something by now. I go back out there, like, come on, what's the problem? I take it out, look at it, and it ain't doing nothing. Not knowing that you got to give the thing time. the conditions are not right. And then it also didn't help me because I had a father that just liked to use anything that's in his way. He took my plant that I was trying to plant, you know, my seed, and he put it underneath the barbecue pit to catch the oil. It scarred me for life. And I was like, he was like, and you know, the oil was dripping, you know, the grease rather was dripping, and so he needed something to catch the drip, so he used my plant that I went outside to check on, and I said, ain't nothing I can do about it. I mean, what am I going to do? Going to go to him and tell him, you had your nerve to do. No, all I could do is just cry to myself so I wouldn't get a whooping. And I just said, I said, Bob, you know I was working on something here, man. Oh, I didn't know, you should have told me. I don't know if that would have changed anything, Bob, if I had told you. But I was working on trying to grow. Listen to it. I mean, I was about 8 years old. I was trying to grow an orange tree in East St. Louis. Because the orange that I had was so sweet, I wanted it again. So I went to plant it into this little pot, thinking that I could grow an orange tree, and my mother would be proud of me that I grew an orange tree in the backyard since we ain't have one. My point is, you have to allow that seed inside of you time to grow, germinate. And when the right, like I said, when the right conditions, man, this gives me everything. When the conditions are right, that's why the Bible said, you know, God's word won't return to void. Because when the conditions are right, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Then it's going to come back to him, and God's going to say, yep, that's it. That's my word. He's going to verify it. He's going to say, oh, yeah, that's my word. I said that. There's my signature. I signed off on that. I signed that off on that when I sent that out. It may have been 20 years ago or 2,000 years ago. He said, I signed off on that. His word is still out there because his word said that Jesus is coming back. His word is still out there circulating in the atmosphere. It ain't coming back to him until it accomplished. Y'all better know what I'm saying to you. He put his word out there. And he's a God of his word. He put it out there. It's still in the atmosphere. You want to know how I know? Because y'all tell me. He said he's coming back. Yeah, that lets me know. When I hear it from somebody else, you letting me know. His word is still circling in the atmosphere. His word is still telling us that he's coming back. His word is still going from you to you to you. It's hitting all of us because his word is out there. And as soon as the conditions, as soon as the temperature, as soon as the atmosphere, as soon as everything is right, God is going to return for his people.
Doors of the church is open. We're extending an invitation to Christ.
Be blessed, my sister. Be blessed.
We are extending an invitation to Christ. We are opening up the doors of the church. This is the part of the service that we allow people the opportunity to come and give their life to Christ. So whosoever will, let them come.
Let me life to you. You can depend on God to see you through. my sister.
Amen. Let us all stand. Let us all stand.
Be blessed wherever this life leads you. Let me encourage you. Let me speak life to you. You can depend on God to see you through. You can depend on me to pray for you.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Let the church say amen.